The meditation today is in Psalm 123. If you care to, please turn there with me in your Bible. Psalm 123. We continue and shall continue through to Psalm 134 in the Songs of Ascent. Let's read this one. Psalmist moved by the Holy Spirit wrote, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease with the contempt of the proud." Well, back two Psalms previously in Psalm 121, the psalmist there, and again, it's one of these majority of the Songs of Ascent that have no earthly author noted, but the author there lifts up his eyes. And so we have here yet another psalm where the psalmist is saying, and the people of God sang as they were going up to Jerusalem, "To you I lift up my eyes, you who dwell in the heavens." He is not merely looking up, nor are the people as they sing this, merely looking to earthly aid, looking to the hills, and wondering where their help will come from. They are now explicitly saying that they are looking beyond the hills, and they know the one to whom they look. They are looking to Jehovah, their covenant God, their God who pictures mercy yet to be accomplished through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior whom he is providing. They look up because up is where they're going, up to Jerusalem. They look up because there at Jerusalem is represented the redemption that was to come for them. In fact, the very reason of their going up, whether it be at the time of the Passover or whether it be 7 weeks later at the time of what we call Pentecost or later in the fall at the time of the Feast of Booths, all of these special holidays, these ceremonial times also spoke of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they looked to him, to the covenant God in his three persons. They looked to him who provided for them and continues to provide for the people of God redemption. Now, as they go up, they are mindful, many of them, particularly if they are coming, say, from the direction of Jericho, from the east. The way that they are climbing is steep. At times it is narrow. At times it is twisty and turny. And there are those in the clefts of the rock who might seek to rob them or cause them harm in other ways. Their enemies round about held them in contempt because they didn't even have God that anyone else could see. They were held in contempt, yet they continued to look to the one who could, who would, who had redeemed them through the soon to come person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the very fact that they could sing this happened because our Lord Jesus Christ himself could use these words, and perhaps in his heart did. We don't know the content of his prayers when he would get up before the dawning and pray. We don't know the content. We don't know the words that he used. We don't know that the particular scriptures that he appealed to. We know somewhat, at least of the, we might say, summary of his prayer in Gethsemane. but we don't, again, know the exact words. We know of his prayer in John chapter 17 before he went into Gethsemane. There we do know some scriptures. But what I'm getting to is this. It may well be that the content of Psalm 123 was on the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ at various times in his ministry. When he was rejected, when he was scorned, when people banded together to try to trip him up, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever. In all these times, he could have, he doubtless did, have this psalm upon his heart. It is because our Lord Jesus endured all this, because he did not receive mercy, he gave mercy through going all the way through the curse of sin there at the cross. Because he was able to triumph over sin, his people are able to cry out for mercy. We see there in verse 2 that they look to Jehovah, the covenant of grace God, for mercy. And then not only looking, they importune him. There's a good word for you, children. Importune. It means to beg, to plead. You could be saying, Mom, I importune you for supper. I am so hungry. Won't that surprise her? Well, in any case, they begged here. And I'll draw a little lesson here real quickly, a little application that I didn't even think of till now. It is not wrong. It is quite right to keep praying for something, even when it appears it can't possibly happen. You will not get God tired by praying and continuing in prayer and being demanding in a manner of speaking, if all the while you are saying, if this is consistent, God, with your glory and my good. But you can pray. It is not wrong to pray for deliverance. It is not wrong to be praying for mercy. It is not wrong to be praying for the longings of your heart. Nothing wrong with that at all. As long as in all ways you will trust God for what he will give you out of his loving hand. Well, the contempt that they experience is not that. The scorn that they have is not that that they get from God. God delivers them, and so he will you, and so he will me. For he has given us ultimate deliverance in our Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the contempt and the scorn and triumphed over it all. Well, let's sing from Psalm 123. We all endure this to some degree because of our adherence to, our connection to, our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. As they have hated him, so they hate us as well. But we can, really, we must use this psalm in praying to God, trusting that he will bring us mercy, he will bring us relief, he will bring us, in Jesus, victory. Psalm 123. Thank you.